The plague that threatens what millions have died for.
Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be.
We will fight it. We will defeat it. We will eradicate it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
introducing the least woke man in America.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Least Woke Man in America, a podcast dedicated to fighting against the meatless, gunless, godless, abortion-filled, censorship-ridden hellhole the American left is trying to create in the United States of America. And as I so often say, we have many Proghelias all over this country to show us what the left is capable of. New York, L.A., Chicago, Philadelphia, and of course the crown jewel, San Francisco. Check out a previous podcast of mine where I call San Francisco Sodom and Gomorrah. So this was a big week, not as far as the long-term repercussions of what took place as far as the conclusion of the Trump supposed loan fraud trial, but as far as what it showed us about the American left, the current American left, the blue states, blue cities, just what they're capable of and how scary it is. Okay, so let's do what I call a producer recap. I know many of you are hardworking people, law-abiding citizens, raising families, very busy. So sometimes it's easy to get lost as far as what's going on or the different components of stories like this. I mean, this Trump loan fraud situation, trial, supposed loan fraud, has gone on. I was looking it up since 2019. And see, the left is smart with this. These sham trials they put together. Because they know, for the most part, we're on a trajectory right now, as hard as it is to believe, for what a mess Joe Biden is, and he is a mess. I don't think the man is capable of walking across the street, opening a mailbox, without someone holding his wrist. And he is the most powerful man on the planet. But, as I've warned for years, we have the Manson Caucus. We have a group of people in this country who will vote for Charles Manson, as long as they get free stuff and have abortions. You could say to them, well, I mean, you can vote for Ronald Reagan or end the Cold War or Charles Manson. They're going with Charles Manson. Say Winston Churchill. Say he was an American, hypothetically. You'd say, well, we can beat the Nazis and vote for Churchill, or we can vote for Charles Manson. They're going with Charles Manson. So that's how they pull it off. They pull off a guy like Biden, a complete, empty, weekend at Bernie's joke. So here we are, and we have the Trump trial, the real estate loan, the producer recap. So I don't mean to digress, but so I always say that people are busy. We try to put the components of the story together. So in essence, what happened here was in 2019, Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, remember that jokester? Just whatever, that's a whole different story. He ran his mouth saying, and if his mouth lips were moving, you know, it probably wasn't true, that Trump did all these inflating of his assets. The Trump family, they lied to their banks, in essence. They lied to their banks about what their real estate is worth, and that's how they get all their money, and yada, yada. So, at the time, New York Attorney General Letitia James, or as I call her, Tishy Baby James, she was all over that, of course. Because the interesting thing about Tishy Baby is that you can find videos of her quite easily, 2017, 2018, openly bragging how about she was going to bring Donald Trump down. She was going to handcuff Donald Trump. She was going to ruin Donald Trump. And magically, this was before she even knew about this. So, but of course, that time there was such a group zeitgeist among Democrats with Trump and Russia collusion. Remember that? The $40 million Mueller investigation that led to nothing. And so that's where we stand. She went after him. This was a big deal to them. What's amazing to me also is that I was thinking this through. June 16th, 2015. That's when Donald Trump came down the escalator at Trump Tower and announced he was going to run for president of the United States. So we're going on 9 years. 9 years from that day. He still doesn't have a misdemeanor. He still doesn't have a felony. All that's there is he was impeached by some legislative bodies ruled by the his opposite, his opposing political party, full of pathological liars like Peter Schiff, and a $40 million Mueller investigation where the man in charge, Robert Mueller, pretty much said they found nothing. So that's where 9 years later, no felonies, no misdemeanors, couple of sham impeachment trials. So what are they going after him for? Supposedly loan fraud, which was started by his attorney, who is just an absolute disaster of a human being. That's literally, you won't hear a recap like that on MSNBC, CNN, where everybody's staring at the camera with those dire looks on their face, which they've been practicing for 9 years now. Joe, Mika, Morning Joe, Anderson Cooper, those end-of-the-world faces, David Muir on ABC. Because that's the story they're feeding. There are millions of people in this country who are not getting the way I just laid it out to you. Not even close. They are getting the serious end of the world face 6:30 at night or first thing in the morning, day after day. So the Democrats are smart. They know, as I was saying before, the trajectory is it's probably going to come down to Trump and Biden and a couple percentage points in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, the normal story. And so if you keep saying Trump and trials and Trump and fraud and Trump and this and Trump and that, while not mentioning one thing magically about Hunter and China and Hunter and crack and Hunter and prostitutes and Joe Biden as vice president, not president, classified documents, then it comes out that Joe Biden, the special counsel in charge of him having classified documents as a vice president, which is much different than having them as a president. He comes out and says Biden's not fit for trial because his memory is so bad. The average person in this country doesn't get any of that. They get Trump. Trump and trials and Trump and felonies and is Trump going to go to jail? And they know that. And they know those couple percentages is going to come down to in swing states. And that's a big part of what's going on here. That along with just general vicious hate. So last week, the final verdict came in. Back to the producer recap, where Judge Arthur Engoron, or as I call him, Artie Estrogen, because, well, we'll get into that in a second. So Artie Estrogen hands down his verdict that Donald Trump is going to pay a fine of $355 million, and he's barred from serving as a top role in any New York company for 3 years. This is according to the Wall Street Journal, but I mean, that was what he decided. So Artie Estrogen, with those crazy hate-filled eyes. You know, there's so many things about this guy that I wouldn't say drive me nuts. You know, there's a picture of him and his assistant, Allison Greenfield, who also was just a vicious Trump hater. And you ever look at a picture of two people and think, you know, my life isn't perfect, but thank God I'm me and not those two. And so that rage-filled face Artie Estrogen has every time he looked at Trump. I mean, that has a face. It's not even like a male-type hate. It's more of like a husband and wife at a restaurant, and she just saw him stare at the waitress's rear end for the third time. It's like that type of hate. When I look at Artie Estrogen, I see plant protein. I see climate change. I see just a classic baby boomer left-winger, more cranky as he gets older. The movement, the expectations of the utopian world, not only crumbling before them, but the dysfunctional mess they're going to leave behind. That's what I look at when I see Artie Estrogen. And so, and his little sidekick there. So he decided that, you know, he's such, I wrote a blog post about him back in like November, just because I connected the dots. So he is a case study, him and his little sidekick there, and Tishy Baby, of the self-delusion we are all capable of. See, Engoron, or Artie Estrogen, he is Jewish. So, as I wrote before in my blog post at leastwoke.com, here is a guy who claims to be a card-carrying member of the ACLU, which is true, he says that, who says he, quote, despises censorship, end quote, and is currently writing a screenplay about the Holocaust. Good for him, he's Jewish, he has a right to do that, right? Well, what I said was, who exactly led the Holocaust? Last time I checked, it was the Nazis. What were the Nazis known for? Having zero respect for the private property of others. Or you could say real laws and real justice, none of which took place here. The reason I point this out is because this maniac is literally trying to tell the Trump family, because at the time I wrote this, they were talking about liquid, possibly just making them sell all the real estate, which would be even more horrific. But anyway, to tell the Trump family to sell and liquidate property they rightfully built and own. And so, and it's true. This guy a judge in New York City is going to try to, and it's not going to happen, it's going to be appealed. But how, and it's going to be appealed, and it's going to be thrown out. And that, a lot of that, you will get a sense of relief from, oh, that's good, you know, real justice will be served, and we're not a banana republic anywhere, where Artie Estrogen and Tishy Baby can just step in, because they hate Donald Trump, and they hate his family, and they hate his politics, and they hate the party he's part of, and in their own crazy delusional mind, they think they're the MAGA fascist Nazi fighters while trying to rob another person of their private property. So a lot of people say, oh, what a relief, it's going to go to the appeals court, America is a real country, but you know, we take that for granted. If this stuff keeps up, and that's why I talk about the probability, 20 years from now, how do you know the appeals court isn't full of lunatics? How do you know the Supreme Court isn't full of lunatics? So we can't take any of this for granted. Just because the sham judges are at lower levels, which this guy is. This is like a... I should have looked it up before. This is like a weird way that this guy became judge in the first place. It's a type of judgeship that you're chosen, and he was chosen, of course, by a group of Democrats, and he's been a Democrat operative his whole life. So this isn't your traditional, this level of judgeship is not like an appellate or especially a federal Supreme Court where you have to be go in front of the Senate. So the whole thing was, how he became a judge is what I'm saying, was a joke in the first place. So now it's going to go to a real court and get thrown out. But the fact, he probably knew from day one it was going to be thrown out, and he still went ahead and did it anyways. That's the visceral hatred these people have. And so it's a joke. And what I can't believe is they got away with this, and that people are dumb enough to believe this, because most of the people listening to this right now know that, forget about real estate. If you get something as simple as a car loan, say you find something, and say for example, if there's no dealership involved, and you find a car you like on Facebook Marketplace or from a friend or a family member, and you do the bill of sale between the two of you, and you walk into your bank or credit union, they don't care about the amount that you, the two of you, came up with. They look at your credit, your income, and then they look at Kelly Blue Book or some other third-party source of valuation before they lend you money, because that's going to be their collateral. That car is their collateral if you don't make your payments, right? So collateral is a huge deal to banks. So that's the most simplest car loan. That's the simplest car loans, right? But then you go into a single-family house. Any of you who have bought and sold a single-family house before, you know, between appraisers and home inspectors and banks and the bank's attorney and all the stuff you have to do, how much goes into that? And 80% of that is to protect the buyer, but also the bank, because banks do every transaction based on the idea, even though overall foreclosure rates have always been low in this country, that if they have to foreclose and take the property back, they don't want to take a hit on it. So they want to know what it's really worth and protect themselves. Now when you get into the Trump family's level of real estate, we're talking tens or hundreds of millions of dollars are what the property values are worth. And the Trumps, Trump was a third generation real estate guy. His kids are a fourth generation real estate people. Where I'm going with this is, you don't think they know that they don't know the bank is going to do their own due diligence for the types of loans they do in the hundreds of millions of dollars range? A lot of times the banks will spend hundreds of thousands on accountants and appraisers and valuation experts before the loan is done. And the Trumps know that. They know it's not even possible to lie about this. That the number you actually write down means nothing. You can write down whatever you want. You hand it to the bank. They know the bank is going to do all of their own work. That's why all of this is such a joke. That is so standard in commercial real estate. And so that is just amazing to me that even got to this level. And like I said, though, you have the Joe and Mikas and the Anderson Coopers and the David Mears, and people just eat it right up. You know for a fact there is just... There was 300-pound butch cut man-haters who just went, now it's time for my Super Bowl, as soon as they knew that verdict was coming out this week. And they're the same people, just so upset about January 6th, and the MAGA, and the fascists, and the Nazis. And what are they going to do? What they did to the Capitol, which wasn't right. But how could you think of yourself as the big MAGA, Nazi, freedom fighter, democracy lover, and support anything about any of this nonsense. So it's really incredible. And the other thing is, these are the same people who are now having a meltdown over Tucker and Putin, and Tucker going to grocery stores, the Russian grocery store. Give me a break. Give me a break. And I'll have another podcast about that. But the other thing is, going back to what I said before about Proghelia, and what a just a case study crown jewel this is that this is pure Marxism. As I mentioned in a previous podcast about the war in Israel, but Israel and Hamas, and people who think objectively, which these people don't think, my God, it's, you know, Israel was attacked. Hamas went into their towns, killed unarmed civilians, brutally raped women, threw babies in microwaves, blood all over the place, dead bodies. They go into a concert. They literally kidnap people like animals and drag them back to their caves or tunnels back in Palestine. Israel responds, Israel's the bad guy. Why? It's Marxism. It's Israel globally has been established, Jewish people, as the oppressor. Hamas is the oppressed. In that situation, there is no limit to what Hamas is allowed to do to the Israelis, because the global left, they are the oppressed. The Trump family, white billionaires, millionaires, whatever you want to call them, there is no limit to how much that was you're allowed to take from them. They just happened to go the loan fraud route in this case, because that's all they could get their hands on. But in that situation, there is all types of progressive, so to speak, people who are mindful. They're mindful of so many different things. They're mindful of the climate. They're mindful of women's issues. You know, they're just so mindful. It's like, oh my God, did you hear? Cody is doing poetry this week at Soy Espresso. Oh my God, I love Soy Espresso. It's my favorite place. Those Cambodian wind chimes in the background, they just make me feel so present. I can be so mindful. Well, some of us are mindful of $100 trillion debt. Some of us are mindful of 8-year-old boys shouldn't have their wee-wee chopped off. Some of us are mindful of the fact that Marxism, mob rule, hate-based politics, taking the private property owner from other people is regression. It's pure regression. That's why I often call them in my post on social media, they're regressives. This is mob mentality stuff. And so, like I said, what took place here and what has taken place for the last nine years with Trump is absolutely incredible. And we really need to learn from this. I hate to sound so pessimistic, but it's a wake-up call. This is what they are capable of without any guilt whatsoever. In their own minds, Artie Estrogen and Tishy Babies, they're going home as heroes right now after trying to steal the private property of a family that's owned real estate in New York City for three generations. And don't think, you know, these are the same mentality, the same people who was working all different levels of government. All different levels of government make big decisions on a daily basis to affect me and you. Like I always say, we get focused on the big whales, the Hillary Clintons, or the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, or the John Kerry's who make decisions. There's many versions of those. You and I will never know their names, crawling around the capitals, the federal capital, and the state capitals, and the county capitals all over this country. And this, what took place here, is an exact illustration of their thought processes. And so that's why we have to keep fighting, especially at the local level. Sometimes it can be exhausting at the federal level. I get it. But this is why paying attention to these things is so important. And it's so sad because this is the fruit now of decades in the public school system of having such a weak teaching of the fundamentals of the country. Most people, there are people who would listen to this podcast after 12, 13 years of public education, where in New York State it costs $30,000 per kid per year, and have all types of eye-opening, wow, I didn't think about it that way. They literally, literally don't even know. They literally don't even know how historically, unique it is in a situation like this, where a sitting judge has decided to take, in this case, $355 million from someone based on their politics and really in their race and who they are politically. It's really mind-blowing. And so the fundamentals just are not there. And that's why I give a lot of credit to the people who are really going at the school board level at this point, running for school board, going to school board meetings, because that's your foundation. You know, this, the like I said, the foundation for this was set decades ago. And God bless the left. I don't really know if I should say that, but they have worked for decades, since the 1960s, and all the institutions, media, government, entertainment, and most importantly, education. And then you have a situation that is something like out of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, literally, in 1917. I mean, that's what started Ayn Rand. A lot of you know Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, some of the foundational books in the right-wing movement. Because there's someone in Russia in 1917, as a kid, literally saw the Bolsheviks come inside of her parents' house and take their stuff based on who they were, what they owned. I used to work with a woman, grew up in Cuba. She grew up in Cuba. Her and her family escaped. They had banana trees in the backyard. If they had too many, you know, if the government drove by and saw, you know, the number of bananas growing in their banana trees was way more than what one family needed, they'd literally walk in the backyard, start picking the bananas, and drive away with them. Because you're in true communism, you can't own and sell anything. So they couldn't pick the bananas and sell them. It was up to the government to come pick. And so these are real stories, real people that really take place. And see, in this country, every between free, like I said, the Manson Caucus and low interest rates and consumerism, everybody's been lulled to sleep. But the greatest myth of all is to think that can never happen again. And like I've said before in the previous podcast, if as far as society and debt and everything else, the track that we're on right now, if we don't really establish democracy in the fundamentals, not through elections, but education and entertainment, the real totalitarian, I mean, this thing would, as I said before, with the left, that Trump is the totalitarian, and that the right is the Nazis, the people who are most adamant about free speech, the least amount of censorship. When is the last time you have seen a conservative or libertarian call for censoring anybody? Like I always say, I would never want Whoopi Goldberg or Joy Behar censored. That's the worst thing you could possibly ask for. Or Nancy Pelosi or Peter Schiff or any of these idiots. We never want these people censored. When they run their mouth, it's the greatest get-out-the-vote drive we could possibly ask for on the right. So the country that supports private property, the party that supports private property ownership, free speech, gun ownership, is somehow the Nazi party, the anti-democratic party. It's a joke, and you and I know that, but if the society doesn't change and the debt doesn't change, the real totalitarian, because you cannot have, the founding fathers made it clear, you cannot have a democracy on the route that we're on right now, the real totalitarian will emerge. And like I always say, he will make Donald Trump look like George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart's character, and It's a Wonderful Life. I am fully convinced of it. So we are updating leastwoke.com. Hopefully by the end of this week, Hassan Houdini, the magician behind leastwoke.com, we will have what I call the Meme Hall of Fame. We're literally going to have hundreds and eventually thousands of the funniest right-wing memes you've ever seen. And since I don't own them, I don't have rights to them, feel free to steal away. Download them on your phone. I'll re-upload them on your own social media pages. That's what it's there for. We're going to have the Inspirational Hall of Fame. So, like I say, no matter what type of day you're having, there's always leastwoke.com. And it's only expanding from this point on. So we're thinking like late week, all this stuff should be worked out, including what's already working. And if you go and put your email in leastwoke.com, you will automatically get emails when the new podcast episodes are up. I know a lot of you listen on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, all the different platforms that I'm on, so you get automatic notifications. But if you or some people like to listen off the website, or you just like to know, put your email address in leastwoke.com, and you will get an update. Because God knows there's much, much more to talk about, and we will probably be talking about much more as the week goes on. Take care of yourself, everybody. God bless, and have a great weekend.